You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a returning guest on the line, Dr. Mark Williamson, who is the owner of Lansing Veterinary Medical Center. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Williamson.
Thank you, Lee. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, we're doing great. Thank you. Doc, the reason we wanted to have you back on the show is because with the change in weather and frankly, the very light winter that Michigan went through, there's got to be a whole host of issues that are going to be affecting people's pets if they're not prepared or careful. So I guess to begin, how has the light winter and the less frost and freeze than usual affected the pet's world?
Well, I think one of the things we're seeing, which, you know, kind of sees a constant theme, is that light winter just never allowed us to get really the end of a flea season. And so we are seeing, you know, a flea season through the winter, and now it's actually revving itself on up to really get going for us.
A stately status, all in charge, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, I mean, what do we have, 80, 90-degree weather a couple weeks ago, and I think that everything's in full bloom right now.
Not to mention the moisture that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get that humidity going, and all of a sudden you get the explosion of those fleas just ready to hatch, and they're looking for a home.
And I know one thing that helps during the winter is the fact that you got your furnace going away, beating the band, and drying up the house. And that tends to tell the fleas to kind of stay down for a little while. So as soon as we start turning those off, I would assume, you know, all of a sudden we've got issues.
Which, yeah, and I think that with the mild winter, you know, we were seeing, you know, a little bit of that throughout that treating these animals with flea infestations in the home that we normally didn't. Mm-hmm. So I think having that milder winter, although our furnaces did get kicked on, allowed some of that life cycle to keep going. And so I think that, you know, now that we are getting this warmer weather and we're opening our windows, I think some people are going to be in for an unpleasant surprise with the amount of fleas that they're going to have to deal with.
So, Dr. Williamson, how do we get on top of this? What should somebody be thinking now that they're confronted with this? What are you suggesting to your clients?
Well, I think at this point in time, you know, prevention is obviously the key to it all. And I think people can still get a head start on this. You know, nowadays there's so many, you know, safe and effective ways to control our fleas. And I think if they can talk to their veterinarian about which works best for them, you know, monthly topicals, monthly tablets, things that can just kind of stop that life cycle and make it to where their homes just are not going to get infestated with the fleas. You know, so that would be the first step.
Now, Doc, one of the other issues that I imagine that you get from all of the early blooming that's take place is an increase in allergies that pets go through. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and I think that that's going to be a little bit of a change for some of these dogs this year that have seasonal allergies. You know, usually you kind of have a slow crescendo to where that weather changes and all the pollens get into the air. You know, I think with the warm weather we just went through, that itching, scratching, and skin issues are going to start developing a lot sooner, you know, than we would typically expect. I mean, look at all the plants outside right now. I mean, there's things that are blooming that I don't think we normally see blooming until the end of April.
Yeah, I think humans are going to be affected. I notice a lot of my employees are coming in with allergy-related problems and not speaking very clearly, and their voices, you know, kind of all messed up because of the settling in the chest. But I imagine what are we wanting to do for our dogs? And cats? Is there something we should be thinking about in solving these allergy problems if we see them creep up?
Well, I definitely think if people know their dog or cat is going to be, you know, seasonally affected in the springtime, you know, whatever remedy they're using, they need to start right now.
Okay.
And sometimes that could be, you know, simple antihistamines and anti-inflammatories. There's just no way you can avoid the environment. You know, if we can get that, you know, process started now before we start having, you know, just full-blown, you know, pull my hair out, scratching, and, you know, severe skin issues, at least we're going to be able to weather this storm a little bit easier.
So make your appointments with your dog allergist, if you will, or your local veterinarian, and get the medicine if necessary.
Coming. I would get it started soon because you mentioned your employees. I think everybody's having through that, but I think our pets are starting to have some scratching itchinesses already. And so the sooner we can get them, managed for that, it's easier to kind of control it than it is to kind of go ahead and treat it.
Now, one thing I'm thinking about is couple days ago, I was swatting at mosquitoes.
Well, that's the one thing that came on up. Yeah, and this is the time of year I think people start, thinking, okay, the weather's warming it up. Michigan allows us to meet a seasonal, heartworm preventive environment. And although we really harp on keeping them on it year round, for those individuals who try to kind of put their budget together to put seasonal heartworm preventive into their forte for their pet, I think now is the time they really need to be on heartworm preventive because those mosquitoes have been out all last week. And if they wait to the end of April, they're going to be a whole month behind.
Now, if I remember correctly, and I don't know if we talked about it on the show or if it's just a conversation I had, it sounded like with heartworm, it's almost like a crescendo as well, where as the generations of mosquitoes work their way through the summer, they become more and more harmful with respect to heartworm, ability to spread heartworm. Is that true? And if how does that play into the, immediacy of getting the problem taken care of?
Well, Rick, it is true. What happens is that, as these mosquitoes are hatching themselves, they're weather dependent too. And so, when we get, cooler nights, some of those mosquitoes can't survive. You get to where that weather is now more consistent. You got a lot more looking for meals. They're able to search a little bit farther. And so, you have a lot more population that can go ahead and attack our, and bite our dog and cats. And it then it becomes environmental. I mean, if you're in a neighborhood that, unfortunately there's a dog or two that are positive and you don't know about it, those mosquitoes start circulating around. They just go, from one home to another home to keep themselves going. But as that weather warms up, you're absolutely right. There's a lot, a higher population come in the middle of June, that can go flying around and pick up heartworm than it would be, right now when we have, real warm weather and now we get, close to 35 degree weather. But that being said, if you're around an area and your neighbor has a dog or you're in an area that a heartworm is a little bit more prevalent and you're not on preventive, your dog's at a high risk.
Is there any way that somebody knows by anything on the internet or whatnot where those hot spots are, or can you pretty much assume that they're everywhere? I mean, how spotty or how prevalent is that?
Well, I think we get data that's very biased because it's only reported to the ones that are seen by the veterinarians and are reported positive. And mm-hmm. So the maps even we get are a little skewed. Now, when you go ahead and put all those positives together in a whole region of a state, you can see certain areas that more positives are coming about. But what I always tell the clients is that we're reporting this map on animals that are seen. And there is a population that, we just aren't getting all of those pets on in. And so I would presume that everywhere that there's, a population of pets, there is a population of heartworm disease.
So in order for somebody to be convinced that they have a problem around their corner, is there a place one could actually go and actually witness that particular map? I mean, as imperfect as it is?
I don't know if that's up on a website at all. It usually comes around through some of our local distributors. We'll kind of send that on out. One of our drug companies that actually, take some of the positive tests and make some of the tests called IDEX. Mm-hmm. They'll have that. But I don't know if that's something that I could just go ahead and Google and find that map as easily. It may be out there, but I typically it's something that, we're going to have displayed in the veterinary office.
Gotcha.
Dr. Williamson, you were talking about you only know about the animals that are reported. That mm-hmm. leads me to talk about that because of the mild winter, there's probably a lot more feral animals that are are out and about that maybe wouldn't have survived the winter, but this year probably did and thrived. We know about the feral cats especially. What kind of problems will that cause, and what can people do to prevent them?
Well, I think with the wildlife being a lot more active all winter long and early on, you know, they do carry, you know, with them some diseases that we sometimes don't think about. I mean, definitely the fleas and ticks are always going to be that issue. But one of the things that the wildlife, especially if we have our backyards that are open to that, you know, they're kind of scavenging around, going through our gardens and everything like that, is that they will carry intestinal parasites, and they will leave those behind, and then our pets go on out there into our lawn, and it's very easy for them to pick those on up. And again, that's a very simple thing to put them on preventive. So that's something that most people probably don't think about. But with that mild winter, you know, I definitely saw a lot more activity in my backyard. And there's a lot more droppings of other animals that I normally would not see.
And what would be the, you know, we're all familiar with the heartworm, ticks and fleas, mm-hmm. but for intestinal parasites like that, what is the preventative for that?
Well, most of the heartworm preventives nowadays will actually combine with an intestinal parasite protection, and that usually covers our roundworms and our hookworms to the most of the extent.
Well, that gets a little extra value.
Mm-hmm. You know, if that's not being done, then most places are recommending that their pets, that the pet owners bring a stool sample on in every 6 months to analyze that, to look for intestinal parasites, mm-hmm. because it's not something that's as visible to the naked eye out in the yard as it is when we look at for, you know, that under the microscope.
Are there some worms, you know, there's roundworms, tapeworms, mm-hmm. are there some worms that heartworm medicine isn't going to take care of?
Well, there is. Whipworms probably one, and that does vary. You know, there's a couple, and this is where we get our heartworm and flea and tick preventives are kind of covering certain bases. One doesn't do, you know, everything. The most common is going to be ones like that cover the roundworms and our hookworms. But there are a couple that will actually, because of the medication that's in there, you know, protect against whipworms as well.
And what is whipworm caused by?
It's a host-related intestinal parasite. It's passed on through the stool, and so when a dog gets exposed to that through usually other fecal matter or stool that's out in the yard, you know, they will get that whipworm. Of all of those, that's probably in our area not the most common, but when it does occur, it's the most hardy in our environment. It doesn't go away. And so if we have a pet we've treated for whipworms, we find a preventive that they can be on all the time, or we're going to check our fecal samples a lot more frequently because their environment's going to have those whipworm eggs in there, and they just don't go away as easy as the others.
Right. And, Doc, we've only got a minute left, but one of the other issues I know is the puddling of water getting drunk outside by the pets, and April showers are still coming. What can we do to deal about that?
Well, and this is something that, you know, as far as preventable problems that we can try to avoid with our pets, you know, when we're taking them on the walks, the dog parks are just opening on up, and like you say, Lee, there's this water that's pooling around, and the dogs are just going to go ahead and drink that. Well, you need to keep in mind as a pet owner that it is not as clean of water as we would like, and there is some, you know, potential problems in there, and we will see a very large increase in GI-related problems, and the history goes that they were out in the dog park walking through the woods. The dog was just kind of, you know, probably drinking some of this stagnant water. And they'll get GI problems. Giardia is in there. That's another intestinal parasite.
Yep.
So if we can avoid those things, then I think that's the way we can kind of make it through spring without having to have an extra trip.
Dr. Williamson, thank you so much for all of your tips this morning. We really appreciate it. We've been talking with Dr. Mark Williamson from Lansing Veterinary Medical Center. And, Rick, we're going to continue the conversation after the break right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.